Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The E-Show, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Founded in 2013, the EHL is your next step on the path to college. Over the past decade, the EHL has established itself as the college placement leader on the East Coast. And now, here's your host, the commissioner of the Eastern Hockey League, Neil Ravin.
Thanks, Jim. With that, let's bring in Jeff and Anthony and Jake this week, guys.
Bonus segment.
Oh, now it's a party. Yeah.
I know Jeff and Anthony, you guys were on with me last week, but I'm sure Jake was listening also. To change the title of last week's podcast to something.
Effing inevitable?
It could stay this week. Freaking inevitable that we end up with seven of the eight same teams from last year. When you combine EHL and EHLP together. But I will say this, it was a lot different of a journey to get to those seven teams compared to last year. So let's start breaking it down and around the E-Show.
Let's take a look at what's going on around the E-Show.
Around the E-Show is presented by BioSteel, the sports drink of the EHL. Use the promo code EHLB1, that's EHLB1. For 25% off when you check out at biosteel.com.
So we'll start in the EHL because that's what gets to start first this week in Providence on Tuesday, not Wednesday. I messed that up myself last night in an email I sent to everyone.
We got a quick correction. Just kidding. Those were the old tits.
Yes, we were supposed to.
Don't you dare show up late.
The finals next year will be Wednesday through Sunday, just like they usually are. But this year, because of Easter, we're going Tuesday through Saturday.
But can't forget about those Catholic universities and
Anthony,
colleges.
I'm just still thinking about Saturday night. If we have like five overtimes and like it becomes 12:01, like what happens? Like
that would be awesome. The Easter Bunny just comes and ends the Providence Frozen Bun.
I think Jesus Christo, maybe Christo Walker ends it for us. I think Jesus Christo comes down from the cross and says, "Get the F out, guys."
Jeff, great transition because you know. And I'm sure the Little Flyers are going to hear this, but they have to know that they had the eighth highest point total going into the division finals, right? So by default, they're going into the finals as the underdog, okay? But
they were
the first one to clinch their spot. I got to ask, guys, when they lost 2 of 3 at the Philly Showcase, including there was a game they lost to the Warriors 9-4. Now, the Warriors, I know, finished strong down the stretch, but like, who saw this coming? Who saw this coming?
Anyone have their hand up? Nope. Not I.
Like, I can see them winning, but Ronnie Petrucci has a 9.74 save percentage.
I mean, look, I was calling one of those games, and Ronnie Petrucci was just fantastic. I mean, the 87s outshot the Little Flyers like 80-something to 40 between games 1 and 2. And normally you think that you'd win that series, but I mean, Ronnie was great. You know, I think the Little Flyers penalty kill was also really good, especially down the stretch in game one, because the 87s had like 3 power plays in the final 5 minutes. So you look at guys like Jack Costable, of course, the MVP, Andrew Henry, Braden Doherty was great. He had 2 points in game one. So, You know, it was just a very strong defensive effort from the Little Flyers.
And it seems like they got a couple of the new guys too, leading the or newer Flyers, right?
Christian Kinsler, Trevor Krucek. Yeah, those guys came good. In.
Oh, midway through the season. Right, see you guys later.
Two names. They got to help, you know, keep these games low scoring games at Providence. I mean, it just it seems to be working for them. They have mobile D, like you said, those three guys leading the D core. And then, like, Christo Walker only had a handful of goals in the regular season. He's a playoff performer. He was strong last year in the postseason. He's going to do the same thing again. So, and obviously with Ronnie in goal, he's the great equalizer. So they're going to want to keep these games low scoring.
I mean, because the one thing I will add, and you know, I think with the Little Flyers, I think the 87s controlled the play 5-on-5. And I think it's going to be more of a challenge for the Little Flyers because, and this could not just, you know, this isn't just backhanded against Philadelphia. It could be a backhanded thing against the 87s too, where they struggled all season to finish, right? Yeah. So you're going to go up against teams against the Railers, the Boston Junior Rangers, the Avalanche, who are all much better offensively or much better scoring goals. Yeah. So not saying that I'm writing the Little Flyers off, but they're going to have to improve their 5-on-5 play. And Petrucci is going to have to be even better than he was against the 87s if, you know, if they want to win the championship.
Yeah, and last year...
The, who are they out, Neil? Who are the Little Flyers?
It's just funny. Last year, they went and they faced the regular season champion in that best of three series. And the Avalanche, and this year, it's the same exact thing. The regular season champion and the Railers, that's their best of three series. But did you know, guys, Ronnie Petrucci, just to stay on this, because the fact that he's got a sub-1 goals against and a 974 save percentage, obviously last year he was the backup behind Louis Finnegan for the Little Flyers, who helped get the POF to the finals. But Petrucci has frozen finals experience the year before. EHLP. He was part of that EHLP team 2 years ago that got to the Frozen Finals. So
yeah, I mean, Logan Downs was a big part of that team. Johnny Lee, where I mean, they had that big come from behind win against the 87's P team.
Yep.
Where I mean, those who were running the show, Logan Downs, I thought, also looked pretty good in that series against the 87's this year for the EHL. He's really come along nicely.
For sure. It's just funny, though. Of all the major awards in the EHL, there's only a few guys that are left, or their teams are still alive, and the MVP is still alive. But you can't say that it's been Jack Costable, you know, pulling the wagon the entire time here. It's definitely been Ronnie. He's been doing so. And I think a shout-out has to go to Mark Catron because he just wins. In the play.
He does.
He just wins.
He pushes all the right buttons in the second half of the year and gets these guys going. I mean, you look at their same thing that happened last year. You look at their record in the second half, way above 500, hovered around that mark in the 2023 portion of the season. Like, whatever he does, it pays off. And we got to find out what he does at Providence. That's my goal.
I will say this. I do think if the 87s were able to have won game two, the longer that game was going, it probably benefited them, especially because of just, you know, how many shots Ronnie had been facing and some of the minutes the big guys have been playing to then go to game three back home. But all it takes is one bad line change. Like,
oh my goodness.
It's just, but you have to just say it because that's postseason hockey.
I was watching that game. Shout out to Joe Sindoni, you know, great call on it for the Little Flyers. But I was just watching that game, and it's not like for a 0-0 game, it's not like there are a lack of scoring chances. Quite the opposite. There were at least 10 different times where I was watching, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, either really happy or really nervous, like, oh, this is it. Here it comes. And I just see the puck getting covered. I'm like, oh, okay, we're just going to keep playing.
No, Neil, that's a good point, though. That's something I wanted to talk about today is with these teams is when you get under the bright lights, we've been talking about that for the last few weeks, things change a little bit, right? We get some crowds, right? We actually get some crowds, some people, because we play a lot of midweek games and people are working and stuff. But it's going to come down to the old attention to details, little things, line changes. Too many men because you're all freaking out. You're all trying to get out there.
Yeah.
Offensive zone faceoff wins. How about shots on goalies that are creating rebound chances, right? Hit that right pad, that 1 inch to the left or 1 inch to the right. You saw what that's horrible to bring up dead bodies again. That St. John's prep game, right? That kid puts the puck on the perfect part of the pad, creates that rebound, and those poor refs are getting buried. Hopefully, they're doing okay. But it's just little things like that that you see a big moment.
For sure.
Like,
for sure.
That's a difference maker. So
that was the first team to clinch, though, the Little Flyers. And probably the team that's almost equally as excited as we are as a staff to eat Big Tony's this week. So
I'm purposely haven't had Big Tony's in months in preparation for this. Because it is very close.
You're doing like a cleanse.
Yes. But then the second team to clinch, it's just funny how it works out that it was the Railers, and we knew right away that they were going to face the Little Flyers. But funny backstory to this, you know, they win game three against the Apple Corps, and Sean Bertone, the head coach, calls me up and was like, hey, like, how do all my guys already know that we're playing the Little Flyers on Tuesday night? I'm like, Sean,
you finished number
one. The one. They were number 8, so like, 1-4, and the team that always travels the furthest plays the late game. And he's like, ooh, okay, I guess it makes sense.
Boom, done.
But that best of three series, like, it makes no sense to me.
That's weird. They didn't play it all this year.
No, they didn't play this
year. No, I triple checked. I'm like, they didn't play I'm talking about the Apple Corps series first with the Railers. We went to game one, Jeff, you and I, a one goal game, and then two just games that weren't close.
Yeah.
Like, and who saw that coming in game three?
I sent a couple texts that said it's going to be very one-sided tomorrow. I just thought that it was just the Apple Corps almost gave too much in game two, and they sort of like overcorrected, I guess. And I mean, they just came out firing. The Railers had no answer, and they played one of the worst games they played all year. They were sloppy. There was like no attention to detail. And then in game three, Marcus Christmas Feedy scores with just 30 seconds into the game. And it's like, oh my God, start warming the bus. Like, this thing has changed very quickly.
Yeah, Jake, I just want the eggnog ready in March. Yep.
Jake, I just want to say your nickname game is elite.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Always has been. Always
but
been.
I guess that's a great point though, Jake, because I wanted to get to that with some other games. Like, what is it about, you know, how sometimes this postseason a simple goal like that has just been demoralizing for some teams that they can't scoring a goal that quickly. It felt like New York was like, all right, well, here we go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It plays into that experience factor. I mean, the Railers group, they have a lot of returners this year, a lot of O3s that were on the team last year. So whereas the Apple Corps, they only had like a handful of returners that only played in a play-in game last year. I think that playoff experience came into play. I mean, you look at it at the EHLP level as well. Railers let up an opening minute goal against the Rangers in both games 2 and 3 in the EHLP, and they came back and won both those games. So it's just it's the confidence that they have that I think is a big part. You know, been there, done that. Guys like you know, Jack Wineman, Corbin Mealy, Connor McAleer, they're all leading the charge. They all had points in that game. Corbin Mealy had another goal against the New York Apple Corps. He did it all season. So I just think it's that confidence factor, that experience factor that has played into the hand of the Railers for sure.
I think also to answer your question, Neil, and sorry, Jeff, I'll make this point really quick. I think with a three-game series, the momentum swings are just magnified.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're coming 100%. Off a high, like for Apple Corps, coming off that high of a game two win, but then the Railers get one immediately, and you're thinking like, oh no, we're running out of steam. And for the Railers, they're probably thinking like, okay, like we've got this. And that momentum just sort of built upon itself. And I think there's just really easy to sort of run away with a game like that.
Yeah. And I was just going to say too, like, we have to just give, you know, quick credit to Lenny and the Apple Corps for what they did. Like, that can't go, it didn't go unnoticed, right? We talked about it all year, but now that their season is officially over, just an Atkinson golf clap for Lenny Caglioni and
your
Capricorn. I really hope. I mean, that he's a really talented kid. We all know that he's young. He's hungry. He has aspirations of moving up. I hope he sticks around for at least a few years, builds something really good, builds a core with the core, for lack of a better term, so that they can get that experience, like Jake is saying, and then maybe next time around they'll be able to flip the script because they'll remember this moment against the Railers, against a team like Jake said that's veteran built that's just been there, done that, and maybe they'll be able to change the script next time. But yeah, just a huge shout out to them. Highest scoring team in the league. More than
a young team too. Year.
I was about to say that. Yeah, I mean they only had a couple
of
age outs.
A lot of guys back. Yeah.
Only a couple 100%. Of age outs defensively too. I mean, if Hunter Lee is back for them, like my goodness, that guy is one of the best young defensemen in the league. So I mean, yeah, I think the only direction is up with the core, and Lenny is a gem for this league.
And poor Peter Unger. Oh, he was showing me and Neil.
Oh my god,
scar on his collarbone.
That poor dude, man.
That was. I guess he's looking at schools, but he's an 04, so he could come back if he wants. Yeah. Yeah, it's close to his home in Stanford. He was telling us about, and he had nothing but great things to say about Lenny and the Apple Corps. So I think that was a huge thing too. If they had Unger, your big goals, your best goal scorer, top 10 points getter in the EHL, I think that could have been a difference maker. It's just too bad.
Yeah. And hey, Jake, shout out to you for calling game one on Instagram Live. That was pretty cool. Yes.
What a guy.
Yeah. When there's no Wi-Fi at the rink, we got to make do with what we got.
Yes. Well,
take a note, young broadcasters. We've done this many a times this year. We've brought these other alumni on. We're talking about stuff. Take notes, players. Now take notes, broadcasters. Jake is a no excuses broadcaster.
Thank you, guys.
So funny. But that best of three series, like I said before, that's the second game on Tuesday, so therefore it's the second game each day, right? They'll go Tuesday at 7:30, Wednesday at 2 o'clock, Thursday if necessary at 2 o'clock. The Railers are the home team for games 1 and 3. Little Fires are the home team for game 2. And then a quick trivia question before we move on to the inevitable. We'll get to that. But the Railers and Little Fires have faced off for one game at the EHL level in Frozen Finals history, back when we had a round robin. Right. What was the score? And follow up to that question, who scored 2 goals in that game that was kind of surprising?
Oh, damn. This is like really dusting off the cobwebs.
The Railers won it. That's
the Railers won this game. Yep.
Was it 6-1?
It was 4-0. It was back in the 2022 Frozen Finals. This is the year
Stefan
we had.
Stefan Kulanik scored 2 goals.
For well, no, he had 38 saves. But this was the year that we had 2 3-team pods in the round robin.
Oh, yeah.
And this was day one. We had 2 shutouts on the first day. The Express beat the Avalanche 2-0. The Railers beat the Little Flyers 4-0. And a player named Jonathan Heiss scored 2 goals for the Railers. And
Jonathan,
we were all like,
Heiss, yeah,
where did those goals come from? Because during the regular season, he had 2 goals. And during the playoffs, he had 3 goals.
Is he a defenseman?
No,
he was
forward.
A forward.
He's a forward. Yeah.
That was kind of like Kyle Dane years ago with the Avalanche, right? Didn't he have like 5 goals in the regular season?
Yes.
And then doubled
but then Dan the next season played really well too.
Yeah.
So he just sort of kept that going.
Yeah, for sure.
To the other side of the Providence bracket, if you will, the 2-3 series, we get a matchup that guys we simply have never seen before. I mean, we've never seen this before.
Yeah, well, do these guys know each other?
Oh man,
like, I mean, was looking like, I'm like, do these guys play each other? Avalanche Rangers. I could have sworn I've seen them play each other.
That means that we're not gonna. At least we don't have to see a championship game between the Avalanche and Boston Junior Rangers.
Hey, let's go, boys! Let's get another Atkinson golf clap for this. We're gonna.
Well, you know, we could just call the semifinal series the championship series, Anthony, and then we'd have no issues.
No.
So we'll start with the team that clinched it first, which was the Rangers. And for the second straight year, I mean, this is Walpole's about to mute me, but for the second straight year, Walpole wins game one for the Rangers to come storming back. And like, I'm going to make a comparison to an old coach in our league. His name was Craig Doremus. He's now coaching the New Jersey Titans.
Hey.
And a few years ago, the Titans kind of had a similar playoff run where they kept staying alive. And he had this quote throughout the postseason in the NA where it's like, if you want to beat us, you have to kill us. And it's like, what is it about the Rangers these last 2 years that even when they fall behind, like, and they still have just a little bit of life left, like they flipped the script? What do you guys see that the only way that they're going to get knocked out is if you driving through, I guess, right? Like, what have you guys seen from these guys?
I think their will is so strong. I mean, they faced three express power plays in the third period yesterday, and they soaked every shot. Yep. Like, I think Pierce, like, faced a handful of shots on those PKs for them, but, like, they just soak up everything. They play so tight in their own end. They make it so difficult for teams to enter. I think teams just kind of run out of steam, and they're able to pick their spots. I mean, they had the power play goals yesterday, Caleb Miller cashing in on the final second of a power play. Like, this is a team that's going to pick their spots. They're going to strike when the iron's hot. They're not going to kick their tires, right, to, you know, wasting time, wasting energy. They're going to defend hard, and they're going to get great goaltending. I mean, Aiden Pierce is a stud. He's so poised in goal, and I mean, Rich DiCaprio is a playoff coach.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Boston Junior Rangers is that they've always played a very structured game. They play with surgical precision, just all three zones where they just sort of stifle other teams. But this season, their scoring has just been unreal. Yet you have three guys who won a championship last season, Caleb Miller, Tay Mellis, and Brett Beal, who were all on the team last season. And they're sort of driving the offense right now, and combine that with good defense. You know, Pierce has been solid in goals, Jake was talking about, and you know, it's no real surprise that they're back now in the Frozen Finals.
Yeah. Right, so time to play devil's advocate, since we're all pumping the Rangers tires here. And are they a top line heavy team?
I don't know. I mean, like, this is,
are they deep enough?
Can they
Brett Beal, Tay Mellis, Caleb Miller, and beat the Avalanche in three games?
I think it's a fair criticism. I do. I think that obviously a lot of teams' offense is going to come from their best players. But I mean, the kid Jake Russell is coming into junior hockey for the first time in high school, had an excellent year. Valente is a good player. And I mean, they added Matthew Fournier down the stretch, and he's very good. So I think they did the right things to kind of bolster that. But at the end of the day, like, if you have one of the best goal scorers in the league, one of the best setup guys in the league, and then Brett Beal's like perfectly slotted in between, like, it, I think they can carry the weight anyway.
Yeah.
Just a question, Rich.
No, it's a fair question.
Can't wait to see you on Providence.
Hey, Jeff, we're top level. No, but I think, Jeff, I think even Rich, like, Rich can be honest enough, though, when you compare him to, like, the 2020-21 championship team. It's a hell of a lot different.
Oh, it was the opposite of this team. Like, Jesus, they can play friggin',
you know. Just like last year, though, like, even go back to the Wizards series. They win the first game by a goal. They win the second game in triple overtime. You take away the empty netter from yesterday. You know, I hate empty netters. I think it makes the scores look like more lopsided than they are.
Yeah.
Four of their five games are one-goal games. So
That was a one-goal game yesterday.
They just keep coming up on top in these one-goal game situations. And
And they keep getting good goaltending.
Well, yeah.
We heard that in the past. It's been their story of their history, of their franchise.
And you guys said this about the Little Flyers. Is it going to be – would it be beneficial to the Rangers as well if if we have more low-scoring games?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Can I also say something? Like, do we know the number of goals that Caleb Miller came into the postseason with last year?
Three.
And he's scored how many since?
I mean, right? So, like, is there a guy...
10 times the production. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Is there a guy that can do the same thing this year? I mean, like, there could be an unsung hero on this Rangers team.
That's a really good point, Jake. Maybe there's someone we don't know about yet. We just mentioned that with all these other guys, right? The Kyle Dans of the world, that they kind of can come out of the glue.
Exactly.
Yes, the bright lights can make certain people not do so well under pressure, but then there's the opposite of that too, right? Is that it actually brings out the best in some guys, where they're like, hey,
here I come, the entire group.
is my math correct? Since last March, he scored 36 goals.
Yes.
Yeah, he had 31 in the regular season.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. Wow. Well, was it Tyler that said to us earlier that top line had 11 points in three games versus the Express?
Yeah.
And the rest of the roster combined for six.
So,
one was the empty netter that Neil loves.
Back to the Frozen Finals they go.
Poverty goals.
Yes. And they are the three seeds. So, technically, they are the lower seed in this series, where they get the Avalanche, who I don't even know how you define the five playoff games that they played.
Yeah, let's dig into them, huh? How about that comeback? They're down 3-1 to the Spartans. Oh, Brett Schreider, when are we getting you to Providence, my guy?
But I think, Jeff, I'm glad that you bring that up because I kind of touched on this earlier. What is it about this postseason that when, you know, you lose a game in that fashion that you couldn't recover, right? And they weren't the only team that had it happen to them that way, right? Like,
that they were up, the word earlier, Neil, it's demoralizing.
It felt like the life out of you. They were up 3-1.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they lose that game and the Avalanche score 51 seconds in yesterday. It had to feel the same way that the Apple Corps felt going into game 3 of their series against the Railers. Like, oh boy, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And then you get the 7-3 final because that was a Seacoast team that, sorry, love you, Brett, love that team, but defeated. Absolutely defeated. Yeah. You're going against an Avalanche team that's never not been to the Frozen Finals. So you think any of those Spartans don't know that? I'm sure, I don't know if all of them listen to the show, but they're all smart humans, or, you know, so they must know. And I think that definitely creeps into your head. Oh, here we go. Chris Sorel and the Avalanche. Boom. Goal in the first couple of minutes. They've never been to a Frozen Finals. This is it. We're done. We're cooked.
11 power play goals in 5 games.
Nice.
They've been good.
Pretty good.
They've been David really Messina effect. Yeah.
Yes, they've been really good in the power play. I will say this,
Jeff. Have Avalanche underwear on? Did Chris and Mario buy them some Avalanche underwear?
You just mentioned the Avalanche have been in all 6 Frozen Finals, right? Yep. We should say, too, for the Little Flyers, they've been in every Providence Frozen Finals. They've been in 5 of the 6. The year they took off was when we were in Westchester, Pennsylvania, 20 miles away, right?
Right. We're just going to stay home this year. Like, no, we're coming to your house. Yeah, but we're just going to stay home. We'll see you next year.
I mean, I'm sure that's probably like the funniest thing, like just to look back and laugh on now in their locker room. But back
Mark Cashman definitely joked about that a few times in these showcases. For sure. It's like, oh, you know, we couldn't make the trip 20 miles away, but we can make it friggin' 5-6 hours north. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure at some point this week, somebody in our crew will look up and do the math for every single Avalanche Rangers game we've had in the history since 2017. But if you look at the Frozen Finals matchups, right back in the 2017-18 season, that was the first year of the Frozen Finals. The Avalanche won their round robin game against each other. Obviously, New Hampshire went on to win the championship. 2018-19, the Avalanche made it, but the Rangers didn't. 2019-20 skipped because of COVID. 2020-21, the Rangers obviously won the championship that year over the Avalanche. So you could say it's 1-1 at that point, right? 21-22, Avalanche made it, but the Rangers didn't. And then this past year, both obviously went to the championship game and the Rangers came out on top again. So in terms of Frozen Finals matchups, it's 2-1. And I know the first one for the Avalanche was a round robin game, but effectively it knocked the Rangers out and put the Avalanche in the championship, right? So the Avalanche have one semifinal victory, if you will, over the Rangers, and the Rangers have 2 championship victories over the Avalanche. So is the pressure on this New Hampshire group to even things up at 2 apiece this week?
I would say so. If they love their coach Chris Sorella, and everyone's been tracking the real world Sorella DiCaprio relationship. Those two are friends. They are, but they do not like each other when they're on their respective benches. Yeah, I would say the Avs should do their coach solid and do their owner and assistant coach Mario Martiniello solid and get the job done.
Well, I mean, look, like you have a handful of veterans on that Avalanche team who were there last season. You also have someone like Ryan Dan, who, you know, his older brother Kyle was a part of those games. So I think the players very well know the gravity of this matchup and the rivalry that comes with it. So
yeah.
I think the Avalanche are going to be ready to play. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder where they just want to take it to the next level.
You can kind of see Chase is peeking over Mickey's shoulder.
Hi, Chase. What's up, Gravin fan?
He'll be coming later this week and end of the finals. So, but they are the first game each day, with the Little Flyers Railers being the second game. So they go 4:30, 11:11. Avalanche home for games 1 and 3, Rangers home for game 2. Yeah, it's the same 4 teams, guys. Just reshuffle who they're playing. Because last year,
thankfully, we have that. Huh?
Yes. Yes. That. Last year, it was Avalanche, Little Flyers, Rangers, Railers. This year, it's Railers, Little Flyers, Rangers, Avalanche. And you could probably make the case that all four of these teams all feel like they have a chance this week.
Yeah, of course. 100%. Yeah, you don't get that far without belief. So, no, they all do.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll go to the EHLP next, which, of course, is not around a best of three. It's a round robin.
I think we have one new team here. Newest, second appearance.
And we'll get to the fantasy challenge here in a second, Jeff, because that was my pick, and I was the only one that picked the Wolves to win that. But, hey, they were the first team to clinch their spot. And, again, I just brought this up a few times at the EHL level. Vermont is winning all game one until the Wolves tie it late, and then they win in overtime, and then won by, I think it was a 7-2 score up in Vermont. What is it about just losing game one in such a heartbreaking fashion that you can't recover? Is it the momentum swings that Anthony touched on, that these three-game series are so quick that you just can't recover?
Yeah. I mean, the premier level, too, it comes in even more to play, right? Because these guys are younger and, like, really haven't even been there before. So, yeah, I mean, they're really cutting their teeth. Let's go to Jake, our New England Wolves correspondent, with his New England Wolves hat. Jake?
I mean, and credit to Coach Trimble and the Wolves, right? This is a younger team. Hey, Chase, how we doing?
Yeah, Chase is like, I got you on this podcast.
I want to talk about the Wolves.
This is a younger Wolves team, right? They have a ton of 06s and a couple of 07 sprinkled in there. They have the best captain in the EHLP, you know, Zach Spikusa.
I mean, like, Harrison Kramer can't be that much older than Chase. Like, let's be real here.
Chase, you're a 22 birth year? Harrison Kramer's a 19 birth year?
Yes. 18 birth year? But he's not the only one that's been scoring for this Wolves team. I'm going to mess up this first name, and I apologize for that. But Rehards Kelmers?
I didn't call them this year. My brother did when the Wolves were here. So.
Yeah. He had a hat trick in one of those games against Vermont.
I think.
Yes, they are definitely the youngest of the four teams coming to Providence. But I just, maybe this is just me sounding pompous, but I was the only one that picked them in our fantasy challenge to win. So I thought I saw
take that victory lap.
No, I thought absolutely. They could score. Like, they could score, right? Like,
yeah, fire 26 pucks.
Playoff goals. Oof, 26 goals. Damn.
Yeah. And they picked up Perry Collados from the Avalanche down the stretch of the season. He had produced at half a point per game for them down the stretch, and now he's over a point per game in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's a good piece. Yeah. Guy who played some P games last year for the Avalanche too, so he brings a little bit of experience to the game too.
Collados, Perry Collados.
Jake, we got some work to do though. We got Jan Sebastian Vancura.
Vancura, yeah.
Oh my god, he better be starting a game for you, Jeff.
Yeah,
I gotta hear
so many vowels.
I can't wait to hear some of the things that Jeff cooks out this week. Oh,
I mean, let's just get a preview, Jeff. Like, just how would you even pronounce or like announce him as starting? Well, he's a winger, right?
Let's see. Let's pop up his profile. Oh God, his Czech Republic town. There we go. Now I'm already dead.
All right, like, we need to get a little more energy for the finals right now. So fire us
starting.
Up.
Starting at left wing from Novizhny, Czech Republic, number 93, Jan Sebastian Vancura.
Wow.
Chase, you didn't hear that
because the headphones are on right here, but when Jeff does PA, it's like a religious experience. So that,
can't wait, boys.
We start with the Wolves because they were the first team to clinch their spot, and they're actually gonna be the first team playing. They're in the first game of the round robin on Wednesday.
Technically not the first team because let's be real, BJR and the Railers, they both clinched when they won the first round.
Yeah, but you know, I don't count that till the series actually ends, right? They need to show up and play the games, and if they didn't show up and play the games, Anthony, I would have taken those spots away from them. So we're gonna go with this, right? 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the Wolves are playing the Railers that you just mentioned, Anthony. They knew going into this series that they were going no matter what because they won the regular season title. But credit to them, they lose game one and then storm back to win games two and three. Jake, I know you're around the team a lot. Was there a mindset of getting to the finals the quote unquote right way.
Yeah, there was. And this was actually really interesting because I talked to on the broadcast about this with Christian Gras, who was on with me for the third period. He was our EHLP goalie of the year. And he said, like, it felt weird game one. Everybody kind of felt like it was a regular season game, that they weren't really playing for much. Okay. And then they end up losing. They lost a special teams battle in that game. And they really just made a lot of unforced errors early on in the game. And it kind of snapped to them after that they need to take this thing a little bit more seriously and really reorient themselves to playoff hockey. And then they let up a goal in the first minute of both games, 2 and 3, and storm back and win anyway. So, yeah, I think that's a really good point that they kind of, like Jeff said, the EHLP is young. So you kind of need the hardship a little bit, the little adversity to kind of harden you up. And, you know, they did that in game one and went through it and ended up winning the series.
You know, the funny thing about this series, I'm going to steal a line from Chris Russo. We'll be calling the games together on the EHLP side. Chris is like, we're playing for practically nothing and we're still going to kill each other. second year in a row where both teams have already clinched a spot in the Frozen Finals. And they're just like, nah, we're just going to have a 3-game war and just, you know, fight to a 3-game series.
Respective top players for each team didn't play. PJ Sweeney did not play for BJR, and Nolan Tomczyk, Tomer McDavid did not play for the Railers. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting itself. And the Rangers didn't have Max Retzel for game 3, and he is a Railer killer. He's got like 6 or 7 goals against the Railers this year.
Well, okay. Do you think that there was any, you know, value put in the fact that last year this was flipped and the Rangers were the 1 seed and the Railers were the 4? And of course, the 4, the at large, gets the short straw, if you will, for the schedule where they play late, early. You play 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Do you think that factored in at all in what took place for the Railers last year? Did that fatigue come up?
I know Coach Feiner mentioned it to them, but I think at the end of the day, it's just Railers Rangers, and they just don't like each other. They don't want to lose to each other.
Nope. Yep.
And like, once you get on the ice, you're not thinking like, oh, we want second change. We want the better seating. We want the better scheduling. They're just thinking, this is the team that I hate the most in the league, and I want to beat them.
It's the Avs Rangers of the EHLP. Right?
It really, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Real rivalry, real healthy hate.
I'm glad that you bring that up, because when we make the round robin schedule, which I know there's people that have been paying attention. I know, I agree. There's people that have been paying attention about, you know, how next year we're going to have 4 divisions, so there's going to be no more at large. I don't know if we're going to drop the round robin at the EHLP level and go 2 best of 3 series also. But we may, right? It's going to be a conversation now that there's, you know, 4 teams winning their way there. But when you make the round robin schedule after you have the 4 teams that go, like, the first move I have to make is I have to make the 2 teams that just face each other play the last day, as opposed to the 1-4 matchup being the first day. And I know I talked to a few of the other teams that are going about this. I mean, imagine if, listen, the Huntsman of 87's got a little vicious at the end. Imagine if they were the at-large and the division champion, and then you make them play the very first day in Providence. That's how you set the tone for the week, right? But I bring it all up because I hope that it works out that on Friday morning, I'm messing up my week again, at 11 a.m., Rangers versus Railers is almost like a de facto semifinal game where, you know, for the 9th meeting of the year, whatever the number must be at this point, one team wins and goes to the championship and one team loses and goes home. Right. Ooh. So, yes, Tennelly, Anthony, those two already knew they were going. So I posted the Railers first. I actually then, if you notice, I posted the graphic for the 87s next. So I wanted to do the at large last, but to keep with this trend of demoralizing losses, the Huntsmen are up 2-0 for the longest time, just to lose that game in overtime.
Take it away, Anthony.
But
does
it the same trend, dropping that game and then falling behind? It has to be this whole mental feeling of, here we go, like, this is it.
Well, just like the New England Wolves, you do have to give a lot of credit to the Huntsmen, because they're an even younger team than the Wolves. They had a handful of 07s. And they're just not like bottom six guys or like bottom pair defensemen. You're talking about Nick Smith, Paul Augie Caesar, Darius Nichols, all guys who put up points in the regular season, and they were very noticeable in that postseason. I mean, being in the coach's room, you know, you're listening to head coach Adam Hooley saying, like, in game one after the first period, how are we getting played by these 07s? But it's because they're just really skilled, and should they stay with the Huntsman, they're going to be there for a long time. But after the second period, the Huntsman took that 1-0, or they took the 1-0 lead after the first. But then the 87, sort of like the EHL team, were just firing away. Jackson Grudadaria was spectacular in game one. But once they got that one goal, the 87 just seemed to take all the momentum. They got the tying goal. And then, Neil, it's like what you always say, overtime could either end really quickly or it goes on forever. Santa Maria's second goal, it came less than a minute into the overtime.
Yeah.
And I think for the Huntsmen at that point, they just... Yeah, it was a demoralizing loss. Game two, the 87 scored maybe like 5 minutes in, and it just sort of set the tone from there.
Yeah. Yep. Why does this 87 team feel like they're like a light switch for three quarters of the season, and then they just flip the switch on, and like now here we are?
Well, I mean, including the playoffs, they've won 17 straight.
Oh, wow. I should update my records page. Thank you, Anthony.
17 straight. That's right. They went on a 13-game bender to end the year.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Finished just 1 point behind the Huntsman for first. That's crazy.
But because they had the higher points percentage,
that's right. The one less game. Yep. Can't forget to mention that to people, or else we'll get angry texts and emails. All right. Jesus, give me a second. Good Lord.
To go over the schedule of what's to come up, though, obviously the Railers enter as the one seed, 87s as the two. Wolves as the three and Rangers as the four with the at-large. So on Wednesday, the first day of round-robin play, the Railers face the Wolves at 5 o'clock. The 87s face the Rangers at 8 o'clock. Flip over to Thursday, 87s, Railers championship game rematch, if you will, from last year at 5 o'clock. And then Rangers, Wolves at 8 o'clock. And then Friday, let's... make a note that it's 11 o'clock Railers versus Rangers, and then 2 o'clock Wolves versus 87. So hopefully that means I'm trying to will in like the first year, like both of them are like semifinal matchups. If everyone can just be 1-1 going into that last day, be perfect for us in terms of round robin. So, but two other quick points I want to make before we get to fantasy. One is for the games on Thursday, those are listed at 5-8. There is a small chance, like last year,
the game throughs, yeah,
that they slide up by an hour or so. Last year, I think we did 12:30. We moved the EHL game to 12:30. Right, we had 11-2, but we only had
one game three.
So we made the game three 12:30, and then moved up each EHLP game by an hour. So we'll make sure to announce that, though, for any EHLP families that are coming, so that they don't miss puck drop. But then for their final point, before we get to fantasy, entering this week, to me, you know, there's plenty of storylines at both levels, but especially in the EHLP. If Ivan Borisov wins this week, is he the greatest EHLP player of all time?
Yes. Yes.
Jay just picked his microphone up very, very assertively. Yes.
You know, I think he's now three. I think the one record that he has in terms of points or that he's still gunning for, I think he needs three more assists to get the all-time EHLP record.
I mean, Conor McGregor says the double champ does what the blank he wants. Wow. What would a triple champ do? What could Ivan Borisov do? He's like Thanos, just collecting rings.
I mean, like, I'll just say it really quick. He has been such an important piece for the 87s throughout the years, and he's been a good teammate to everyone. He plays the right way. Super friendly, just always has a smile on his face, like the Ken Griffey of the 87s, you know. And and you know, I guess saying this with my Homer glasses on, I wish nothing but the best for him. So I hope he really balls out in this frozen finals.
Chase is a massive Ivan Borisov fan.
Yes, he's the best. He's the best. Chase won't be happy to hear about what happened to me in fantasy, though, so let's jump to that now.
Now it's time for the eShow Fantasy Challenge. Follow along on the EHL app, available now for free on both Apple iOS and Android.
So usually we start this with our Yahoo Fantasy, Jeff, but there's no reason to talk about that because I missed the playoffs by 0.1 points, basically, if we go back to that matchup that I had with Ryan mid-year. I missed
the playoffs by like 700 games. So,
so you were able to switch earlier, and if people don't want to do anything hockey-related, they could jump to DraftKings and go watch March Madness, which I know has been pretty entertaining so far.
Yeah, March Madness. I don't know. Did you have Oakland versus Kentucky? That was a good upset. There's been some great games. So go download the app now and then use code THPN because new customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. So they want us to still talk hockey here. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. So bonus bets do expire 168 hours after issuance. And do you have a gambling problem? If so, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER. You can visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, you can call 877-8-HOPENY, or you can text HOPENY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is also available for problem gambling. You can call 888-789-7777 or go visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, so you can void that if you live in Ontario. Bonus bets do expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights are reserved.
So just when I thought the way that I lost Yahoo Fantasy to miss the playoffs didn't hurt enough, Jeff. So
Howard Beach came in and said, this is my lens.
So here's how everyone claimed their spot, as everyone knows, in the regular season, right? I was fortunate enough to win October, Marc-Andre Dumont, November, Joel Chase, December. January was Logan Iliff, February was Kevin Unger. So that's how we got the five of us have our spot in the round of champions. Then in the round of champions, we all made our bracket, right? So everyone picked who would win the play-in rounds and who would win the first rounds and the second rounds. And you got bonus points if you guessed the series length correct. But we knew that of the five, the top two would move on, right? Mm-hmm. I missed the top two by 2 freaking points.
98, 90, 88.
Oh, the so difference close. Is right here. Rangers winning
games.
In 3 games over the Express in the division finals.
Ooh.
So it's Joel Chase versus Kevin Unger, AppleCore alum versus AppleCore father.
Yeah, didn't Pete say his dad was really into this? I remember him saying that to us the other day when we were at the WIC.
But just like 2 points. And like, again,
Attention to details, Neil. What are we talking about earlier, huh?
You know where the 2 points could have come? If the Wolves had said, we got you, Neil, we'll win this series for you because nobody else has, but we'll at least let it go to 3 games.
We'll tease them. We'll keep them hanging around a little longer.
Nope. 2 points.
Oh, here comes. Hold on. Did you just hear that? Rich is calling. Rich said, oh, Neil, if you just picked us, the Rangers, you would have won.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Rich, we'll talk to you later. See you probably. Sorry, bye.
For those that are wondering how Joel Chase versus Kevin Unger, how that will now work, I'm going to get both of them on the phone at some point before Tuesday. Jake, I'll have you on as like a witness possibly too.
If Joel Chase is there, I need to be there.
So what they're essentially doing is a draft, right? So imagine like you have all 8 teams on a piece of paper in a hat, but you can look and see who's there. Once you pull the team out, the other guy can't take that team, right? So essentially each of them are going to end up with 4 teams that they're pulling for. Could theoretically they end up with one of them gets 4 EHL, other one gets 4 EHLP? Yes, but that's probably not how this little draft will go. But of the 4 teams that you pick, whoever has more teams reach the championship games, that guy wins. So there's a max of 4 points up for grabs. Essentially, you're trying to get 3 points. So I guess what I can do is I will tease the first pick, because Joe has the first pick, and he's picking Railers EHL. So, Kevin Unger, when you hear this, the second pick is yours, and know that you have 7 teams to choose from. What would you guys? What would you guys do? Like, what would you target? I guess you could say
Railers P.
Okay,
hammer the Railers P.
Because Joe did point out to me, he goes, if he doesn't, I could pick Little Flyers, and I'm guaranteed a point right off the bat. I go, you are right, but.
Just remember that Little Flyers history in Providence. That's
well,
all.
No, but when,
also
when
look at the flip side of it. Look at the flip side of it. They could turn
yes.
the page.
If you pick, you only get 4 picks, right? So if you want to, if you want to spend 2 on the same series, you technically can. But I would probably say go to the EHLP. But you don't like you could. Yeah. This is one of those things where that you could run a mock draft, and it will play out like 10 different times, you know, if you do it 10 different ways. So, but Joe is taking Railers EHL first. He feels most confident of the 8 teams that they're the one that's going to reach the championship. So,
all right. No pressure, Johnny Findley's.
Yeah.
Tice. Lock in. Get Joe some points, will you?
But yeah, that does it for fantasy. I mean, thank you to everyone again for participating. And thanks to the other 3 guys, or including myself, I should say, Logan and Mark, who was a fun postseason. It was really close. I mean, yes.
I would say this was a success. Neil, we're going to keep this for next year?
No doubt.
I know we changed it a lot.
Yeah, that was fun getting all the fans and parents involved. Yeah, and some of the players, of course.
A couple points taken away from me is all right. I'll come back next year stronger.
Jake's not sour grapes. He's like, I'll reload. Yeah. I'm coming for all of you.
Every month. That's going to be funny next year, Jeff, is when Jake takes over all league-wide stat changes. Jake's going to win 3 months of this fantasy challenge next year. All of a sudden, everyone's going to be like, wait a second, something doesn't make sense here. But now we will jump to what to watch for.
And now here's what to watch for in the EHL and the EHLP.
What to Watch For is presented by Flow Hockey, the official streaming platform for your EHL and EHLP action throughout the 2023-2024 season.
So I don't really know if we want to just all pick things here, guys, but I'm going to read off the schedule so everyone has it again. So starting on Tuesday, it's just EHL. We have the 4:30 game first, which of course is Rangers versus Avalanche. The 7:30 game is Little Flyers versus Railers. On Wednesday is our first day of full 4-game action, if you will. 11 a.m. Rangers Avs, 2 p.m. Railers, Little Flyers, 5 p.m. Wolves, Railers, EHLP, 8 p.m. EHLP, Rangers, 87s. To Thursday we go, again, 11-2-5-8, Rangers, Avs, Little Flyers, Railers, 87s, Railers, Rangers, Wolves. And then on Friday, just EHLP, Rangers, Railers, and Wolves, 87s. So give me your biggest storyline that you're watching for this week.
Biggest storyline. Do Chris Sorella and Richard Caprio stay friends? Stay tuned.
You can pick out of division, any game, any team. Biggest storyline.
You know, I guess I'll just get it out of the way. You know, the defending champions for the EHLP. You got Ivan Borisov looking for his 3rd championship. So it's like what now former coach Connor McNeil said, don't disrespect the South, or in this case, the Mid-Atlantic. And I think that with this winning streak, the games that they've won in Aston in that showcase, they've proven that once again, they can beat anybody, and they're going to be going to Providence with a purpose.
And I'll go with my friends down south, Alo and Mark Catron. Philadelphia Little Flyers versus everybody. I just dug that shirt out. It's somewhere over here. I'll sport it at some point. But can they turn the tides? Can they finally get the monkey off their back that is Schneider Arena and Providence College? Because I think both Mark and Alo are getting real close to just sending that place down and having it renovated and rebuilt if they do not come away with some hardware this time. But I don't know. I think Ronnie Petrucci's got it going. We've always said, right, it comes down to the hot goalies. You had David Filak win MVP last year. Is it Ronnie Petrucci this year? Is it his year? Do they have a nice mix of new guys with Kruzak and Kinsler? And then you get the older guys. You get the Eulers, the Downs, the Lees. And like we said, you can't discredit the leadership of Mark Catron on the bench. The guy just wins. Does he finally crack it, or are the Railers just too much? They're just absolute beasts. I don't know. We'll see.
I guess I'll just go with the other series in the EHL. Then I'll go with, Christian Rich, the battle of those two. I'm excited to see David Basin at Providence. He's a fun guy to watch. You know, he's not shy out there. He's got some antics, got some quirks, but listen, he plays so hard out there, and he is an electrifying player. And yeah, in the Ranger D is one of my favorite D-cores to watch in the league. I think the Colin Kwok guy's a stud. I love Andrew Haw. Zach Pappas is my captain. Love that guy. So, I mean, like, that's that D-core having their hands full with, you know, an abs forward group that has an incredible next man up mentality. I mean, we know who they're missing. Right. They're missing one of my favorite players, Connor Hagness. Right? Like, so the guys are stepping up. And, yeah, I mean, guys are stepping up. Owen Guerin, two goals, first two playoff goals yesterday, and they came in big ways for them. So, it's going to be an exciting series. It's going to be a war. I mean, that Avalanche team, on a skill, but they don't get enough credit for how heavy they play. Yep. They play, they're a brutal team to play against. I mean, their forecheck is heavy. Their D is heavy. I think the Pelletier guy, he's one of the most complete defensemen in our league. Yep. He is so good.
Big dog.
So I think it's going to be which D-core breaks first. I think, and that's super exciting. Got the Rangers top line against the best player in the league. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'll wrap it up with my storyline of obviously the Rangers and the Railers, only two teams that have both levels there, EHL and EHLP. But focusing in on the Railers, the fact that they won both regular season titles, can they claim literally all four trophies that are in my basement right now? Like, is that going to happen? I bet you if they do win both playoff championships, they will ask me to take both regular season trophies also and then hold on to all four for a little bit. So they
gave like back that Carey Price picture when he won the heart and the bed and everything. They just go like,
because they pushed the regular season trophies right back into my car when we gave them to them down in Philly. So
they didn't push them.
It was pushing.
But the point is, could we reenact that Carey Price picture potentially later this week with all four trophies?
I mean, it sort of begs the question, you know, can this be the Railers' year? Because at both levels, they've just been excelling. I mean, the Railers' EHL team, they've just been getting better and better. They went from 8 wins to like 16 to 24.
Yeah.
Both teams got over 30 this season. So at some point, you just wonder, like, is this the Railers' year? And I think that's another big storyline.
They've rotated guys in the postseason too, right? Like they've used the same formula that they did during the regular season, right? Like that the fourth line has been changing, the extra skater has been changing. So they haven't broken the mold so far. And Adam Kasper, another shutout in a big moment.
That's huge though too, Jake, because God forbid some does pop up with an injury, which we've all seen that before. Then you were talking about the Avs, the next man up, and the Railers are ready because they have all sorts of guys that have gotten prime minutes. So that's huge. That could be a difference maker.
For sure. Hope to see everyone listening in person this week. I'm sure there's plenty of people that are going to have to be watching on Flow Hockey, but
check out Jake's awesome suits.
Well, this is the best production that we have though of the year though. If you do have to watch from home the multi-camera shoot that Dave T brings and puts together. Guys, I mean, this is the biggest staff I've ever had for the finals. There's 12 of us working it this year.
There are going to be enough calzones.
I'll make sure there are. But it's going to be fun. And for us, we're all heading down there on Monday. So games start on Tuesday. Hope to see everybody in Providence for the 6th edition of the EHL Frozen Finals. See you guys there.
See you there, boys.
Thanks for listening to the E-Show, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Learn more about us at easternhockeyleague.org. Follow us on all of your favorite social media platforms. Also, be sure to subscribe and get notified when our next podcast episode is released.